Greetings of love again this evening. In Jesus' name, we're glad to be here with you again this evening and trust that the Lord will continue to speak to us. I find it fascinating that the thoughts that Brother Willard shared with us already kind of come in line with what we're looking at tonight. And the subject of the will of God, that verse that he read out of John 7, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. And there was something there about the will of God and our being willing to do God's will. And as we are willing to do God's will for our personal lives, then the outworking of that is we can learn more about God and we can learn more about his word. But if we just give a pause to that and stop that, stop learning, stop opening our hearts, it seems like suddenly the desire, the willingness to do God's will kind of stops with it. Jesus says, if we will do his will, we'll know the doctrine. And that to me is fascinating. This evening we have a subject before us, youth, finding a purposeful life in God's will. So now you know why it was interesting to me to hear his introductory thoughts. Youth, finding a purposeful life in God's will. And then let's talk a little bit about who the youth are. Now, it'd be interesting just to see a raise of hands if you think you're youth in this assembly tonight. It starts somewhere, but probably around 13, 14, somewhere, and then it kind of keeps going. None of us wants to say we're old, do we? Doesn't really sound so good. And we don't like that idea so well. And I've heard that when people get to their 60s, it's called the youth of old age. So I guess that just keeps on going. I don't know at what point that starts or stops. But one thing that I find out, and I'm 54 at this point in my life, I find out that whenever I have teenagers and those that are now in the 20s, some of the things that they face, and they come back and say, Dad, what do I do here? Dad, what should I do about this? And then I find that some of the things that they're facing now are things that I faced not so long ago. It's not very hard to wind the clock of time back and think, yeah, I was there already. Maybe not the same situation, maybe not the same type of thing, but walking with young people through that, it almost makes you young again in its own way, but maybe it gives you more gray hair, I'm not sure which. But in any case, it's part of this thing of youth is something that stays with us. Now we're thinking about the title, youth. We've already talked about youth a little bit, who that might be, who might include. I would surely hope that tonight, if you're not considering yourself anything young, that something in this message might be a blessing to you. So most youth have a quest or a search for purpose in life. They have energy to do something. Most youth have that. I mean, you talk about what time are we leaving? When are we going? Where are we going? How soon is this happening? They're on the ball. They're ready to go. That means it's time to make it happen. Somebody says, would you have any interest in da-da-da and go on and talk about it? Well, yeah, but when's it going to happen? And the idea is make it happen, so to speak. And they have energy to make things happen. They say there's three kinds of people in the world, and maybe this is a bit on the humorous side. They say that there's a kind of people in this world that make things happen. There's another group of people in the world that watch things happen, and there's a couple people out there that wonder what happened. They just never caught up to them. And that to me is interesting. Before I trip over my own shoestrings, maybe I ought to tie them again. I didn't think they were that long. All right, purpose. What is purpose? Purpose is something to get done, something to accomplish. It's a good thing when young ladies, when they roll out of bed in the morning, when young men roll out of bed in the morning, it's a good thing if you have something to do. It just works better that way. Idleness is the devil's workshop. And parents that are trying to be productive with their family, they probably have something for you to do when you get up. For some of you, it might be school. Maybe not here for the next few months. Might be a little break on that one. But still, something to get done today. Whether it's putting a storage shed together, some hay to mow, some bakery goods to put in the freezer or out on the shelf for some customers. I mean, something. Get something done. And youth have plenty of energy to do that if they're normal, which most of them are. And then there's a reason for which something is made. There's a purpose behind it. And do you know what? There's a reason. Young people, older people, there's a reason that you're here. You're not here just to pass time. You're here for a reason. There's a purpose for your being in life. There's a purpose in time and place. There's a spot that you feel better than anyone else. And if you don't feel it, maybe no one will. And then there's this thing about being on purpose. I had a school teacher one time that really drilled us one day. He just talked about being on purpose, having initiative, being intentional about it, trying to be actively engaged in something, something worthwhile, something productive, something for the kingdom of God's sake, on purpose, be at it. A reason to get up and a reason to mobilize in a day, in the week, a reason to be at it, intentional about it, initiative to get it done. That's what we think of when we think about purpose. We can hardly talk about God's will without thinking a little bit about our own will. So, youth, finding a purposeful life in God's will. I was afraid that title was a little bit wordy, but that's the best one I could think of. So we're thinking about God's will, but we can hardly think about God's will without thinking about our own will. And it's closely tied to purpose in life. This idea of getting something done, having a reason for getting out of bed in the morning, having a list of work that needs to be accomplished this week, this coming week, I imagine most of you have something on your to-do list. At least most of us have that, or should have that. Something to get done. So when we think about our will, we're going to think about four definitions of that, what that actually looks like. What we want to have happen. You give a situation, whether it's a vehicle or whether it's something in the house or whether it's something in the store where you work or whatever you're in the shop where you're employed, something in the garden, around the yard, in the flower beds. There's stuff that you want to make happen. You in the flower beds, you want this kind here and that kind there, and you remember that these bulbs are over here, and you want to make it happen, and you have a plan in mind. That's your will. And then, mental power to choose. This week in our shop there we had about 5 flavors of ice cream. Somebody went out and bought buckets of ice cream, 5-quart buckets, and there was about 5. And you walk up to that freezer, and you look at them buckets of ice cream, and you want to add a little bit to your lunch. And any one of you, if you had the choice of this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one, you have a choice. The one that you like better than the other ones. Okay? Because you have a will, incidentally. So do we. Older ones, I have a will. And God gave you, incidentally, the power to choose, to decide what you want to do. And if you like chocolate or vanilla, I heard a debate between two, whether, and this guy said, I'm just wanting that chocolate. I ain't going for anything else. And some other, I don't know about chocolate. Got to get something else. Anyway. Mental power to choose, but each one of us has that. When we have a choice to choose, there are certain dealerships or symbols of vehicles. It's for some, it's just like, ugh, we don't want that. But for others, it's the best place to go. The only thing, the only choice out there. God gave us that. It's a will. It's our will. And then, I've already alluded to this, but mobilizing to make stuff happen. You don't buy a vehicle in our generation by having your arms crossed and wishing the money would drop off a skyhook somewhere. If you want to buy a vehicle nowadays, and I guess it's always been this way, but you have to mobilize to make something happen. You got to do something to make it happen. It's not just going to happen because you want it to, or just because you wish that somehow it would come to you. It's a will. And God has given us that within us. And then choice or determination of what is going to happen. Some of the choices in life, some of the things we use our will for are to chart a course. If you're going to go on a trip, you have to make plans. You have to make sure there's oil in the engine of your car, gasoline, or diesel fuel, whatever the fuel happens to be. You have to make sure that the tires are fit for a trip. And then after a while, you have to leave and you have to get moving. You have to get rolling in a certain direction to make a destination point that you're looking to do. And that has to do with about every aspect of life. Will. Now, thinking further about this subject, God has a plan for us. And do you know what? We have plans too. God has plans and we have plans. And that's a fascinating thing because somehow the Christian is interested in finding a way to make God's plans become his plans. And that's part of this whole big subject of youth finding a purposeful life in God's will. Let us remember that God always has ways and means for youth and older youth to find a purposeful life. But never forget, the devil also has plans for your life and mine. He has will too. He has desires too. He has plans for your life if you let him take control of your life. And there is where we need to make decisions. Will it be God's way or my way? Will it be God's way or the devil's way? Who will win in my life? Because some of these choices we make but one time. And some choices, if we make the wrong one, it can never, ever be reversed. And that's pretty important to think about as we think about our choices in life and whether it's God's will or my will. We by nature tend to be selfish. I heard of a couple that got married some years ago. And because they were kind of well-known people, and I heard this through, like they say, through the grapevine. Did you ever hear things through the grapevine? They come around and said, this couple was saying, I'm surprised how selfish my partner really is. And when it comes down to it, some of us are just a tiny bit selfish, aren't we? We just kind of like it our way. We know by nature tend to be selfish, but most of us know that there is no true joy, no true purpose in a life of selfishness. We know that if it's all about me, myself, and I, that our life is not very fulfilling, is it? Most of us know that. Actually, true joy, true peace, and true fulfillment are found when we please God by serving him first of all and serving others. How's that little song the children sing? J-O-Y, J-O-Y, J-O-Y must be Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Jesus first, right? And let us remember this evening that we were created to worship and to serve God. That's why we were created. And God has purpose for youth and for older youth in his will. And he wants us to maximize the reason for which we were created in this world. We were created to worship God and to serve God. You may open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Corinthians 6 verse 19 says this, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, how would your life change if you were to actually think about the reality, the living reality that you are a temple of the Holy Ghost? Would it make any differences in the decisions you make as you get out of bed tomorrow morning? Would it make any difference in the things that you did on your phone today or the way you spent your time today? If you would have been thinking about the reality that you are a temple of the Holy Ghost and that you're not your own, that you're bought with a price. What was that price again? It was the price of Jesus' death on the cross to save us and redeem us from sin. Would it make any difference in the way I have spent my time this day, this past week? Or would it make any difference in how I'm going to spend my time through the coming week if God so tarries? What would I do differently if I thought about that reality? You're bought with a price. Therefore, it says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And whose are they again? They're God's. Remember that. But as I said, the devil wants to use our bodies. And many, many people in our world allow the devil to do that. Many people, many young people, many older people allow the devil to use their bodies in very, very sad and horrible ways. But God wants to use their body too. And God has plans and purposes. And we could go over to some other scriptures in the book of Romans specifically and read about committing our ways unto God and giving our bodies as members of instruments of righteousness to God's service and to not serve the devil, not serve our carnal nature. Because as I said, we have a will, but God has a will. And happy is that person who learns to accept God's will for his life. Now I want to look at some specifics this evening as purpose, life's purpose in God's will. How can we find purpose in God's will? And of course, we're looking at God's viewpoint of this. We're not looking at what pleases me. First of all, we're looking at what God's will is for my life. Because if we're Christians here tonight, that should highly interest us. As the scripture Brother Willard read to us earlier, if any man will do his will, he will know the doctrine. Whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. And the more we get to know God's will and the closer we want to draw to him in our lives, in our devotional life, in our personal life, the closer we want to walk with God, we find more purpose in completing and doing the will of God for our lives. So, Joshua 24:15, the ending part of that verse says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, that's often been a wedding text. You might have that in a motto somewhere in your house. It might be a verse you have underscored in your Bible. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a decision. We will serve. Who? Me and myself? Just serve us? No, serve the Lord. We as a family want to serve the Lord. I as a young person want to serve the Lord. Is that a clearly defined thought in your thought and in your mind and heart tonight? I trust it is. Finding purpose in God's will, number two, is seek ye first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Does our life portray that we're seeking God's kingdom first? Or are there other things? Are there carnal things that are drawing my attention tonight? Am I just as happy to just let God's kingdom somewhere down on the list and his righteousness? Am I interested in drawing closer to God, or am I interested in being more like the world? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Finding purpose in God's will, number three, we read in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, it's an interesting thing, young people, and those of us who are older youth here tonight. It's an interesting thing to wake up in the morning and say, God, I would like to do something for you today. And that might be do a favor for your mom or dad. It might be do a favor for one of your siblings. It might be talking to a coworker that comes out and kind of it's quitting time, and they kind of come around and saying, do you have a couple minutes? And and they start talking, and after a while you talk longer. And it might be that, but just, is there something, God, that you want me to do for you today? And that's the way Jesus lived. He lived that way. He wanted to do the things that pleased the Father. In fact, he said at one place, Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. Imagine such a testimony. But, you know, we as Christian people, we could have a testimony like that. I want to do something today to please Jesus. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And, you know, if you have that as a goal today and tomorrow and the next day, God will continue to give you little jobs to do. It might be something as small as giving somebody a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. It might be something as small as that. It might be helping a little child to wipe their runny nose. I mean, it could be a small thing. But if you do it for God's glory, and you do it because he wants you to, and he gives you the opportunity to, it can be a fulfilling life. And that's why some people live such a happy life, because they find purpose and fulfillment in doing that little thing that God prepared for them to do today. And then they do it again tomorrow. And it might be something bigger, something more visible, but it might be something very small. It might be a prayer that you offer for somebody when no one saw, no one knew. That little text that went from your phone to somebody else, a little word of encouragement, and lifted somebody's spirits today. It might be just a tiny thing. But do we have that desire from day to day as youth and as older youth? Do we have a desire to do something small, even though it be, for the kingdom of God's sake, because I felt inspired in my heart to do it? And when we do it for the least of these, my brethren, what did Jesus say? Ye have done it unto me. And it's a way that we can find purpose and fulfillment. And God, for those who follow him and work for him and work with him in their lives, when God looks for people to use, servants, people that do his will, people that serve him by serving others. And God looks for people like that. And whether you're 75 or older, or whether you're 15, there's little things that you can do for Jesus any day that you want to. Little things. Somebody said it this way. It was a little prayer that they made to God. They said, God, give me work for all of my life, and give me life for all of my work. Isn't that a nice little prayer? As long as I live, God, I want to do something for you. And do you know what? If we pray that, God will give us work for all of our life, whether that is a short life or whether it is a long life. My brother, who died at age 15, a taller boy than I am now, the day before he drowned, he tried to tell a native Costa Rican man about Jesus, and he could hardly talk any Spanish at all. But God gave him, in the short time that he was a Christian, God gave him work for all his life, and life for all of his work. And God can use that very same principle in your life and mine. If we just ask him that simple prayer, God, give me work for all of my life, and life for all of my work. Another principle to find life's purpose in God's will is this one. Jesus said in John 17:4 that he had finished the work that God had given him to do. I don't know how many people have gotten to their deathbed and felt that they did all the work that God gave them to do. I would imagine that there's probably a lot of things they wish they could have done. But it is a blessing. Could we aspire such a testimony as that? What a challenge for me that I, at the end of life, could say that I just did the work that God gave me to do. That's what Jesus' testimony was. But if we would just day by day ask God to help us to do that little thing that he wants us to do, that little word of encouragement, that little helping hand, that little prayer that we offered, that little text we sent to encourage somebody, if we would just ask God, and if we did that all through our life, wouldn't life be a blessing to our, to the kingdom of God, to the congregation, to our fellow youth, to our older youth in the church, the older folks in the congregation, the neighbor lady that we might meet or something like that? Is there places and times and things we can do for the kingdom of God's sake? Serve God by serving others? Another verse that I want to look at and want to turn here is Acts chapter 20. Most of you will recognize that as being a passage where Apostle Paul is having his address with the Ephesian elders. It's the last time he's going to be seeing them. He's telling them so. He's telling them that his earthly life is coming to an end. He's not going to be seeing them anymore. But he says here in Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me." He's talking about all the things that he faced and some of the challenges that he faced in ministry. "But none of these things move me." 20:24 of Acts. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, I'm not sure to what extent you feel that you're testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. I don't know how good you feel you're doing with that, and I must confess that I feel like I have a lot of room to grow in this one. But Apostle Paul's desire was that he could finish his course with joy. Work for all of his life and life for all of his work. And finish his course with joy, with purpose, and complete the ministry which he had received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know what? I just like to make this a little bit practical tonight for youth and for older youth and for the oldest persons here. I trust that every one of us who is a redeemed child of God tonight has at least one sinner on our prayer list. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus that we're praying for. That is at least something you can do. And I trust that if we have an opportunity to open our mouth and share a verse of Scripture, pray for, pray with somebody, I trust that we're doing that as we can. A word of encouragement, of prayer. A living example of what a Christian should be. I trust that that is the youth that are seated here tonight. I trust that that is the older youth, parents among us tonight. That we are a living testimony of what a Christian should be. And that as people observe us in the Walmart shopping center, and as people observe us in our garden outside our house, that they would see something of the life of Jesus shining from our lives. And then if we were to have verbal exchange with them, that there would be a testimony of the grace and the gospel of God going from our hearts to theirs. And whenever we do that, and whenever we know that we prayed for somebody in need, and whether it was a sinner or whether it was a saint that needs some encouragement, when we lay our head on the pillow at night, we feel fulfilled because we did something for the honor and glory of God, not for our own good, but for the good of another. And that is even as small as a loaf of bread for somebody or a plate of cookies for a neighbor man. It can be just something so small. Bread for myself is a natural question. Bread for my neighbor is a spiritual question. And these little things that we can do for the honor and glory of God. And if we would live our life doing that, we could say that at the end of our life that we finished our course and we've done the ministry that God has given us to do. A word to him that is weary. A word to him that is weary. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of weary people in our world. And there's a lot of them that actually sit on church benches from time to time. Young people that are just wore out and it's sad and they don't know what to do. And can you be a blessing to that person? Can I? Life's purpose in God's will. Philippians chapter 3. Finding purpose, finding fulfillment as youth and older youth in God's will. How do we do it? that I may know him. I'm in verse 10 of chapter 3, Philippians. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In another place, it's in Ephesians, and I think it's chapter 4, maybe chapter 3, about verse 14 approximately, it talks about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when we want to find purpose in God's will, we need to take Jesus as our example. Jesus is our model, Jesus as our motivation, and try to serve him the best we can. And there's a lot of room to grow. And if you look at verse 13, then you read a little bit what we had this morning, dealing with the past to face the future, forgetting those things which are behind when they're dealt with and taken care of, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, and looking for a brighter day tomorrow. And hopefully in eternity with Jesus in glory forever. May God help us to attain that. Now, well, you said this sounds pretty idealistic. Well, maybe it is. Because there's some things that youth actually struggle with, okay? And I'm going to read a few of these things that youth struggle with. And this list could be very long. We could have been talking all the message so far about things that youth struggle with. One of the things that youth struggle with is that they analyze the home they grew up in. There are youth that really feel that their opportunities in life are just kind of like not very because of the home they grew up in. They feel that way. There might be somebody here that feels that way. If only somebody knew what kind of a house we have. Oh. And then, right along with that, there's a self-analysis of where you are in life. So you kind of look at your peers and you think, where are they at? Where are they at? What kind of financial status is that fella doing? How's he doing? How am I? And we have this pecking order or something. I don't know what it is. But we do a self-analysis of where we are in relation to the people we associate with. Does that make any sense to us? Do you understand that? We tend to rate ourselves against the people over in that community and those over there, and we tend to do that. And we try to think about how I stack in this whole range of young people and other families. We kind of look at physically how I am that way. How I am emotionally in compatibility with those other young people. And going to PBS at 17 is one way that really comes to the fore. Woo! You kind of like lights come on all over about how we relate to these others and socially. And maybe we ought to be a little more concerned sometimes about how we are spiritually with other youth. Are we spiritually minded or are we carnally minded? But we do a self-analysis. Another challenge that youth face is we tend to classify our parental home as we reach out socially and see others in their homes. And we do the same thing. We look at, our family does it this way. But over there, they do it like this. And we tend to think that maybe sometimes we think that some other people there are just, they're just way down here somewhere. And sometimes we think, my, they're just like up or close to cloud nine or whatever cloud nine happens to be. And we tend to classify ourselves that way. What are some other things that youth are challenged with whenever they look at themselves and as they analyze life? Most youth have ideals. They have an ideal. They say, this is where I'm headed. I want to go this way. But somehow they're stricken with reality. And sometimes the ideal and reality isn't even close to the same plane. It just doesn't even, it's not even like the same person. They have this dream, they have this aspiration. But then they hit reality. Saying it another way, they have illusions, aspirations, they have dreams. And then what actually happens in my life? And sometimes it's not even close to being what they wished it was. Sometimes you're, maybe it's one of them, the proverbial concrete block and that thing that's pulling you back. And you wish you'd deal with some of this stuff so I could fly, so I could go, so I could be somebody. But what happens in my life then? The dreams might be very high, ideals tremendous, but what actually happens? And sometimes there's a serious disparity in our minds and hearts. Another challenge that youth think about, and this happens on both sides of the house, because some young fellas don't get a yes the first girl they ask. And some persons, whenever they've dated for a while, it doesn't turn into a marriage either. And so how many years will I be single? And for sure, girls have that struggle sometimes. How many years will I be single? Will it be 25? Will I be 35? Will I be, how long? Whatever. And young fellas, when they've asked a girl or two and it just didn't work out, or dated a while and it didn't work out, they kind of get a little bit cautious about stuff. And they just aren't really as anxious to try it again. And that can happen with young ladies that have had a bumpy courtship and just didn't work out. And they wonder, how many years will I be single? And then there's another question that youth wrangle with, and that is, what would I do if I never got married? If because of who I am or where I'm at in life, no one ever wants me, what would I do then? And then another huge question, and we're going to look at this one in a practical way here in a few moments. How do I find God's will for my life? And how do you find God's will for your life? How do you do it? Another question that comes to some is, how should I make a living? For some of us, pretty cut and dried, it's pretty easy to figure that out, but for others, it's a challenge to figure it out. And then another question some youth face is, should I go into VS? This has happened, that's happened. Should I try VS or not? School teaching, or service in a foreign field somewhere, or. What should I do? How should I spend my time? So, to answer that, I have 7 simple points tonight, and in case you were worried, when I'm done with these 7, I'll be done with the message. But I want to have some 7 simple points as to how you as youth can find God's will for your life. And older youth of us, myself included, it might work for us as well. Number 1, pray every day. You know what? If you ask God to help you do His will for your life tomorrow, do you think God's going to let you sit in? If you tell God the things that are on your mind, if there's something that you did that you shouldn't have done, something you said that you shouldn't have said, if you try to make it right and confess your sin, He's faithful and just, as we talked about this morning. Pray every day. And then ask God, if you give me something to do for you today, Lord, I want to serve you today. Do you think God will let you down? Absolutely not. Just pray, but pray every day. Spend time in prayer. That sounds simple, but it needs to be done. It needs to be done. Number 2, read God's word regularly. Read God's word regularly. It'd be interesting to know, if you've been a Christian 5 years, have you read the Bible from Genesis through Revelation yet? If you haven't, when are you planning to do it? Just a question for you. Read God's word regularly. You ought to read it every day. And if it's easier for you to listen to it, there's ways to listen to Bible reading. There's a lot of ways to do it. But read God's Word and listen to God's Word regularly. It should be daily. And just one little hint about reading God's Word. There's a tremendous amount of truth in the New Testament for believers. But just another little hint about practical advice. If you want to do a little challenge, I will tell you this, that in the book of Proverbs, regardless of your name, regardless of your address or your phone number, or whoever you are, there's at least one verse in the book of Proverbs that applies to you. And I would challenge you to read through the book of Proverbs and find what verses speak directly and specifically to your life right now. And it is guaranteed that you will find at least one verse that speaks directly and specifically to you. Number three, simple points to find God's will and way to a life of purpose. Remember that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus told that to the disciples whenever they were in the Garden of Gethsemane that night. He told them that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And don't forget that. You're no different than Peter, James, and John were that night, and neither am I. Inside us, our spiritual being knows what pleases God. But we also have a body of flesh that is weak. And we must sometimes do things to keep that under control so we can do God's will and find a life of purpose. Sometimes it means we got to simply kick the covers off and get out of bed and get going. Sometimes it means that we must stop our work and get into the house and get our Bible open before we go to bed at night and read it. It means that we must get down on our knees and ask God for help and strength in this moment in my life. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Along with that, God's will and way will cost me something. It's not just going to be pie in the sky. It's not going to just fall into my lap. It will cost me something. But with God, all things that He asks me to do are possible. God's will for your life is possible. It will cost you something, but it is possible. Number four. We've already talked about this one, but I want to make sure it's understood. Do what God asks of me to do today. Behave yourself in school. Yeah, it's not too hard to do, is it? God wants you to behave in school and be a good testimony in school if you're a Christian in school. Do what God asks of me to do today. Don't worry about tomorrow just now. Worry about today and get today through with. And do what God asks of me to do today. Number five, be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the little things of life. It's not real hard, is it? But sometimes when we think, you mean do that? You mean wash the dishes again? Yeah, just do it. It doesn't hurt you. Hey, no, fellas, it doesn't hurt you to wash the dishes. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you one bit. It actually does you some good. Be faithful in the little things. Someone has said it this way, between the big things that I cannot do and the little things that I will not do lies the possibility that I will do nothing. Do the little things and be faithful in that. Do you know what? Success in life consists of doing a lot of little things right consistently. Whether you're dairy farming, or whether you're fixing cars, or whether you're making meals, doing a lot of little things right consistently. Little things today, little things tomorrow. Just do it consistently. And it makes a huge difference It makes a huge difference if you put those little ingredients in that recipe today, and if you make another casserole tomorrow to do it right again. It makes a huge difference in the outcome, whether it's something baked or something otherwise. Success in life consists in doing a lot of little things right consistently. Number 6, simple points to find God's will and way to a life of purpose. If you need advice, ask for advice from godly, mature people who are doing well spiritually. You can get sympathy from one of your peers. You can get sympathy for someone that's struggling in the same ditch that you're struggling in, struggling with the same temptations that you're struggling with. You can find sympathy, but maybe not so much help to step out of the ditch and get on life's road again. If you need advice, ask for it from mature, godly people who are doing well spiritually. When I was about 37 years old, a wise uncle of mine told me, Virgil, he said, if you're having challenges in church life, which I was at that point in my life, he says, look for people who are doing well and are happy with the church setting they are in and get your advice from them. Don't go and look for some other disgruntled and dissatisfied person out there and see if they can give you any counsel. Look for advice from somebody who is doing well in their church setting and enjoying church life. They are the best people to give you advice, and that has served me a little bit in the last 17 years. Number 7, remember tonight that if we want to live in God's will and a purposeful life in His will, God is more interested tonight, dear friends, in our holiness than He is in our happiness. But if we love and obey Him, He will make us holy, which will lead us to happiness and to purpose in life. And if we remain faithful, to a happy and blissful eternity. God is more interested in our holiness than our happiness. But holiness will lead us to happiness. And if we remain faithful to that calling, we will find purpose in this life. And we will find God's will day by day for our lives. And we will be able to enjoy an eternity with Him if we remain faithful to His call upon our lives. May God add His blessing.